From Jefferson Public Radio, I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another JPR Live session from afar. My guests today are joining me from Nashville, though that is not where they are originally from. They've got a brilliant new record out called Click Click Domino. It's the band Ida May. Hello, guys. Welcome. Thanks for doing this.
Hello. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's our pleasure. Chris Turpin, Stephanie Jean are the husband-wife duo that comprise Ida May. Stephanie, originally from London, Chris from Norwich. Do I have that right?
Yeah.
You do. Yes.
Perfect. All right. Tell me about your early days of getting into music and getting into one another.
Well, we both separately got into music at a very young age. I did all sort of classical training when I was younger, and then my mum's Irish and she used to sing us a lot of songs, and there was always a lot of music in the house. And then we met at college studying music.
Yeah, and I grew up in church choirs. My mum's a piano teacher, so there was church choirs and piano music. And then I discovered my dad's record collection when I was about 14, 15. And then I just
wanted to be... What was in
it? A lot of Jimi Hendrix, Led Zeppelin, John Martin, J.J. Cale, Fleetwood Mac, all that good stuff. So, and then we met at college and put a band together, really.
Yeah.
So, Stephanie, you said that you were both studying music with an idea of doing what? What did you want to do musically?
No idea. With an idea of leaving home and studying something, so I wasn't living at home anymore, I think.
But yeah.
We were both, I studied classical music and then we joined, I actually ended up quitting my degree to join a rock and roll band, thanks to Chris. We got signed very young and quit college and started touring and then haven't really stopped, so.
And classical music, you're primarily a pianist, correct?
Yeah, I started on piano quite young and I did flute and other things as well, and then got more into jazz and singing and stuff when I was at college, and then when I met Chris, rock and roll, so.
Well, and Chris, how about you? I mean, sometimes, you know, here in the States, we know of Berklee School of Music, and it's being really well set up for folks that are interested in rock and roll, but not a lot of universities are. At university, did you just always have an idea that you wanted to be a rock and roller, or were you hoping to do something else?
I was just really focused on making music, really, and it gave me a moment in time to really collate my thoughts and give me several years to write and solely focus on music. My course was more geared towards the commercial side of music, so I was much more aware of record companies and publishers and touring and writing. So it was fantastic in that regard, but I didn't really have a plan. I was just from a very young age, grew up in a very creative family, and I was playing guitar and singing, and that's all I really cared about, so I just kept doing it.
So this first band, was this Kill It Kid that you were talking about?
Yes, yeah.
And this was kind of a heavier rock-sounding band that did quite well, right? Like, you actually got signed and tell me that story.
In Europe, yeah. We were young kids and we got signed out of university, and the kind of rock and roll band kind of exploded due to the deal that we'd signed and stuff. But we had a good time, put a few records out, and it went really well. And
we went around Europe a lot in a van.
Ran around Europe across, you know, our young years, which was amazing. And then Ida May, we kind of started that at the end of that project, and it just took off and raced much faster than we could have imagined, really.
Yeah.
So it was difficult across those years, but yeah, we're all you know.
We did a lot of it. We did friends. 3 records from when we were 19. So like you say, we'd all grown up. We'd signed a few sort of tricky major record deals, is very traditional story that you'll hear all the time, you know. And we just wanted a change of direction. The last record we did with that band was very heavy, and we wanted to focus on songs and harmonies and strip it back with Ida May.
Yeah. So let's talk about the creation of this group then. So you're in a band, you're making heavier rock sounding tunes. You both have a background with a ton of interest and knowledge of classic jazz, classic blues, some classic folk and older rock and roll. Did you always have an idea that this was the sound that you were eventually going to land on, or did it come about because you were just simply playing with one another?
No, I think this was it, really. I mean, we started off much gentler and our sound toughened up over time and the record deals that we were pushed towards and, you know, genres that we were, you know, pushed in certain directions of what we should music we should be making, whereas with Ida May we just really cared about the songs and we wanted to strip it back down to the acoustic guitars and let the songs speak for themselves, really. And mine and Steph's voices, we got very lucky in that they just seemed to work together right off the bat. We didn't have to do much work in that regard. So it was like, well, we really want to make sure that the songs are good. So I, you know, I bought a Martin acoustic guitar and I wrote a load of songs on cowboy chords. And I said, you know, this is it, really. If we can do it with this, then we're doing something right. And if we can't, then we're doing something wrong. And especially after being in a heavier band where there's bells and whistles and there's walls of sound and crash, bang, wallop, it was really important for us to get back to the, you know, just the very simple communication of a voice and lyrics and words, being able to have the same impact. So it was kind of naturally evolved, and we didn't really appreciate our sound and what we were going to be until we did album one with Ethan Johns. And then he helped to kind of gently, sculpt what our sound was going to become, which is elements of everything, of heavy rock and roll, of British folk, of kind of more modern production as well.
Yeah.
But he was the kind of the first person to steer the recording ship in a direction that now we feel sounds like us.
Yeah. Well, the record's brilliant. I'm excited that you're our guests today to play a couple of tunes live for us. What do you want to start with, and what are you going to play them on?
We'll start with a song called Raining For You, which is
an
important song for us. It's one of our favourites. Mm. It's probably one of the first songs that we wrote for the new album. And it's one that seemed to connect with people quite a lot. And it's on one of my beautiful resonator guitars today.
Fantastic. This is Ida May on JPR Live Sessions.
For you.
Oh, that is spectacular. That's called Raining for You. Chris and Stephanie Ida May are my guests today on JPR Live Sessions. That tune is found on their brand new record called Click, Click, Domino, out on 30 Tigers. IdaMayMusic.com, the place to go online to find out information. That's awesome.
Thank you. That is fantastic, guys.
Thanks for playing. You guys relocated to Nashville in like 2019, released a debut record, which we know quite well, Chasing Lights. You mentioned Ethan Johns had a big hand in the creation of that record and the kind of crafting or at least the polishing of the Ida May sound. For this new one, though, we had this little hiccup in the road where touring stopped, recording studios closed down, and I was fascinated to discover that you basically took everything that you had learned and gleaned from all of these wonderful people that you'd worked with and said, you know what, darn it, I'm just gonna do it myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It turned out great.
Thank goodness.
Tell me about that process and the hurdles that you had to leap over to get this thing done in a way that you were happy with.
Yeah. Well, we were just on a roll from being on the road. We've been touring constantly. You know, we felt really strong and confident in our performance because we've been, you know, on the road for almost 2 years solid. And, you know, working with our own label on 30 Tigers, we're, you know, nimble to be able to record and to work quickly and to work fast. And that's how we wanted to keep it. And we realized when this hit, you know, we had plans to fly Ethan and our bass player Nick out to Nashville and do this location recording production. And when that wasn't possible, we realized, well, we kind of assumed pretty quickly that we could be a year off the road. So with the money that we'd saved up on the road, you know, I'm very much into my production and recording. So I was like, okay, here we go. Let's do it. Let's buy everything that we can afford to do before the supply chains, you know, grind to a halt, which they did. Thankfully, yeah. You know, thankfully we did what we did. And our house that we were living in was empty at the time. So we just rigged up the entire house into a studio. Over the years, in our previous band and in this band, we've worked with some heavy hitter producers, from Ethan to Ryan Hadlock to Mike Crossey, T-Bone Burnett. So we've worked with probably, we worked out maybe 10 big names.
And Chris has been taking notes.
And I've been taking notes and, you know, just, you know, working out what each person brings to the table, because we realised we were quite in a unique position to work with so many of these producers who... they don't really know how any of the others operate or work. You know, they work in their own worlds, and we've been privy to these little moments of how they operate. So, and we, from that, we decided what we loved and what we needed to sound good and what we really cared about in a performance and how that performance was captured. So that's what we did. We rigged up the house and we tracked most of it live. And by live, we mean vocals live with piano and guitar. In maybe two or three takes. Yeah. Some of them we took a little longer on. And then with the stems, we sent them off to Ethan from his home recording facility and our bass player Nick, and they overdubbed to our live performances, and that's how the record was made.
It doesn't sound like it was done that way at all.
It's weird.
It is weird.
Yeah. We took a huge risk in doing that, but it worked.
But you know what? At the same time, that's to a degree how this is getting put together as well. And,
yeah, there you go.
And we hope that these turn out great and everybody enjoys them on the radio as well. Will you play one more tune for us?
Yeah.
This is called If You Don't Love Me.
Love me, I won't be loved.
can't love you, there'll be no one else. When the traffic stands still, I won't be a tungsten tank. When your feet won't carry, I will roll like a train. When you feel you're falling, I will meet you in the air. Yes, I will. If you don't love me, I won't be loved. If I can't love you, there'll be no one else. If you don't love me, I won't be loved. Can't love you, I don't want love. Darkness haunts you, I will burn like the day. When you wake with no one, I will lie with you. When you wake with no one, I'll lie with you.
Chris and Stephanie Ida May are my guests today on JPR Live Sessions. So I mentioned that you guys relocated to Nashville in 19. As you said, you were out on the road. I mean, hundreds of days a year. You really were probably never in Nashville. And now you get stuck in Nashville for an extended period of time in a foreign place for a long time. How has that been for you, kind of getting used to being, you know, in a residential neighborhood in the United States, just walking the neighborhood?
It was a little strange at first. We spent about 8 months here, and then we did go back to the UK.
For a little while,
For a little while, because we're like, if this is the end of the world, we should probably
be
near
family.
You know, mums and dads, you know.
But it was odd surreal. In Nashville, particularly because, you know, Nashville was all about music, and, you know, without that, it was quite an odd... It was almost sadder in Nashville, I feel, because there was no live music, and that is the whole character of the city for us, especially, you know. So it was nice. I mean, it's a lovely neighborhood, and we settled in, but it was strange.
The uncertainty was that I think you can hear some of that on the album as well.
And you got to the point where you just switch off the news and you stop, you know. Stop checking on COVID every 5 hours. I'm sure everyone did that, you know.
So now that you have been professional musicians in England and you have been professional musicians based in the United States, what are the differences of making a go of it in those two places?
They're very, very, very different.
Very different.
And I think for us, you know, our genre of music, where we're a harmonying, guitar playing duo.
Yeah, what are you, like British Americana? Is that what you...
I get. Like, I don't know. We're kind of British folk rock,
punk
blues,
Americana,
punk blues. I don't know what we are. Yeah. We're not entirely sure ourselves. But I think in terms of American music and Americana, it's like America is a, you know, the genetic, you know, kind of makeup of American music is born of acoustic instruments and singing together and harmony, and rhythm. You know, so, and I think. It's one of the things that, you know, America is extremely proud of and should be, is this incredible wealth of talent and beauty in its music, is in its musical culture, and I think that's still very much admired here. You know, you put the radio on and you hear country music and you hear a Telecaster twanging on every song. You know, you don't get that in the UK. In the UK, much after, you know, I think playing on from the 60s and 70s, very, very excited about new sounds. all the time, are obsessed with new genres, new trends, new ideas, new ways of working. So that means the turnover of artists is much, much faster there. And they're less interested in the kind of musicianship and acoustic quality and the craft of songwriting and that sort of thing that more exists as a basis of popular music here is a little less.
And that's more talking about like the music. There's definitely a love of Americana music in the UK.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of the industry and touring and things, it's definitely, we've had a much better response out here. And
it's interesting. You
know, we really enjoy playing out here as well because people are very vocal when they do love something. Yeah, you know?
When it comes to Americana in the UK, people are quite kind of beard strokey. They take it very, very seriously. You know, like, it's true, like John Lee Hooker was in the, you know, top 20 in the 60s and stuff. You know, that wasn't, you know, people really care about Americana, but they find it, you know, it's a, I don't know, it's a, they will approach it very differently. And like, you know, I think I saw Richard Thompson talking about it. He was like, in the UK, you know, you play a show and, you know, they'll give you three songs to work out if they think you're any good or not as to whether they're going to enjoy themselves. You know, whereas in America, it's like people just going out to a show. They're having a night out. They're there to have a good time, whatever it is, you know. It's quite a different approach.
Yeah, definitely.
Know.
The songs on this new record are definitely reflective of kind of where we're all at and the environment in which we all find ourselves. Tell me about the meaning behind the title track and the name of the album.
Yeah, well, it wasn't necessarily going to be the title track, but it just, it sounded so cool that it had to kind of
it
be
worked.
Had to kind of be the album track. So it was basically, you know, I was writing and I kind of, you know, like poetry, and I was kind of wanted to write something in, you know, Twitter statements or social media statements, like, you know, because when you go on your phone and you're scrolling through, you get this barrage of information almost immediately that's completely, you know, cognitive dissonance and all over the place. Doesn't make any sense. So I kind of wanted to capture some of that and just, you know, reflect a little bit of what was coming out of some of these headlines at the time and just crash it all together. So Click Click Domino kind of means, you know, it's a bit about social media and social engineering, and it's a bit about, you know, how we all feel, I think, a little on our phones and getting lost in these worlds and bombarded by things and yeah, so just it doesn't mean a huge amount, but that's kind of what it means.
Yeah, and for anybody that's listening to our session today with Ida May, who is unfamiliar with a couple of these older musicians, the band name is a reference to a song from a couple of folks that you should definitely spend a little time looking up: Sonny Terry and Brownie McGeek, some amazing musicians. And is it true that song of theirs, Ida May, is the first one you guys sang together on?
Yeah, it was when we first got together. Steph was singing jazz and I was singing blues, and that's
wow.
One song that I was singing. It's the first song that we sang. And then, of course, in our first band, we spent a lot of time touring across Europe and a lot in Germany. And with Steph's Irish roots, we found out that that name has Irish connections and it has German connections and it has kind of American connections. So we were like, you know what, that's a beautiful, very simplistic way to piece things. It does confuse people that we're called Ida May, and neither of us are Ida May.
There's a lot of grandmas here as well called Ida May.
A lot of it, grandmas and dogs. So, you know.
Right. Well, the record is fantastic. You should be very proud of it. Thanks
Thank
for joining
you.
Us today.
Thank you very much for having us.
Yeah.
My guest, Ida May. The new record is called Click Click Domino on 30 Tigers. Ida May, IDAMAE music.com is the website. Chris and Stephanie with me from their home in Nashville. Will you play one more tune for us?
Absolutely. Yeah. This is a song called Deep River. So
Marcus King's on the album version of this, right?
Yes, Marcus King's on this one. This is the wild, kind of crazy jam of the record. So I'll see if I have enough breath to sing it.
Fantastic. It's Ida May on JPR Live Sessions.
Cannonball moving on the water. I was the moon and the river and the rapture. Mississippi Cavalier crashing through the May Queen chandelier. Oh my. We left the river and headed to the city. Just two old granders look for a monkey with tombstone hearts, blacksmith hands aching just for being there on dry land. Clattering stone, rattling bones, stepping to of an oldest tone. You and me, my baby blue, in the concrete jungle without our shoes. walk those streets and see your feet thrive. White shirts, clean teeth, comb hair tied. Still be at the bottom of the welfare line. Try to be a weatherman, try to mix drinks. Took out a loan to learn to think. Big pills fizzing up my brain. Stayed unemployed as a fall of rain. Oh my. See his teeth clicking like a tiger before fresh meat. Compound interest, FDIC. Nothing in this town ever came for free. Soon as the wind blowing through the rushes, I assume it's the river. So riding like a duchess, lost in someone else's press. Trapped between the cold earth and the air. Oh my.
Oh, that's Deep River. Ida May, my guest today on JPR Live Sessions. Chris Turpin, Stephanie Jean. The new record is called Click Click Domino. It's on 30 Tigers Records. Information can be found at idamaymusic.com. That was fantastic.
Well, thank you so much for having us.
We appreciate it.